I think we've kind of got away from traditional answering the phone. When I was younger, guess what? We didn't know who was calling us. We just had to pick up and say, hello, this is the Allens. Thanks for calling. We had to answer the phone. We didn't know who it was. We answered a blind.
So with that, did you ever like, you were waiting for a call to come that you knew you didn't, for a conversation you knew you didn't want to have, but every time the phone rang, like you answered it, did you ever answer it and it was a call you didn't want to have and you're just like, oh crap, how do I get out of here?
Yeah, because you're stuck, right? There's no, please leave your message at the beep. Beep!
I'm going through a tunnel.
Yeah. Except that it was connected to a wall, so
there wasn't buy that.
Yeah, there wasn't as much tunnel.
Oh no, the scissors slipped.
Oh, I got you. You cut the line. Yeah. Well, yeah. Today the goal is to kind of figure out how do we get through those phone calls. And the first thing I want to talk about is what do we need to get met on this phone call? What's the purpose of the phone call? And then what obstacles or issues would stand in your way? And then actually having the conversation and what that looks like, and then evaluating the results and determine if we can do better next time. Welcome to Adulting Decrypted, where we prepare young adults to be independent powerhouses for life. I am the host, Roscoe. I've got Ashton and Gideon with me today.
Happy to be here. Thanks for having us on the show.
Awesome. Glad you guys could make it, especially on this warm night. You're welcome. I'm glad I could have you on. Okay, this sounds pretty basic, right? If you were to tell me we wanted to have this conversation even a year and a half ago before we started the podcast, I would have said, yeah, we don't need to do this one.
Honestly, for me, it is a basic conversation, but I have a story that I'm thinking of now that I think if I had known some of these things, that conversation I had would have gone better.
Exactly. I saw these on Reddit forums as well as other on our adulting. This actually came through our Adulting Insider Facebook group. So thanks for the interaction. They're having a lot of fun and getting to answer some fun questions. And also talking to Sabrina, she mentioned, yeah, when I had to book my doctor's appointment, I didn't even know where to start. You know, so Ashton, can you share with us this conversation that you had that you're like, man, if I might have known some of these tips, I could have handled it different.
I actually was the receiver of the call, so I wasn't stressing out about making the call. But I was in high school, and I was looking for jobs to get. And I had applied to Water Gardens Movie Theater. We've had their owner on this show before, Mike Daniels. But at the time, I didn't know who he was. And so I picked up the phone. He says, hi, this is Mike Daniels. I am the co-owner of Water Gardens. I'm looking at your application. Thought, hey, can we do a phone interview? I was sitting in the car with Mom, and I was like, yeah, like, sure, let's do it.
No, this is great. And this is a great story.
He started asking interview questions along the lines of, why'd you apply for this job? What could you do for us? Sort of things. And then I remember at one point he asked me about my schedule. And I was in high school. I was in marching band. So I was pretty busy, and marching band made me even busier. But our marching band also had a fluctuating schedule. So I'm on the phone with him trying to explain all this stuff. I'm like, well, marching bands, so we rehearse on Wednesdays and Fridays. Sometimes it's 3 to 5, other times it's 5 to 9, but it depends on the week. And then on these dates, probably went through each of them, like, we have competitions, so I wouldn't be able to work those days. I couldn't hear it at the time, but I'm sure if anyone else was listening to the receiver, they could just hear his interest dying. Actually, Mom probably could hear it. She could probably hear, like, oh, that ship is sinking hardcore.
Right, right.
So I was not prepared for that.
The first thing, what do I need? Who do I need to talk to, right? So in this scenario that Ashton was talking about, somebody called him. So he had the person he wanted to talk to, right?
Yeah, but my need was I needed a job.
Right, so. Right. So from your standpoint, the easiest way to handle that call in my scenario, in my book, would have been, hey, thanks for reaching out to me. I'm actually busy right now. Can I call you back? And when's a great time to do that? Mm. Right? That would have given you a little bit of prep time. Because you weren't expecting to have that conversation on the fly.
Right.
Now, that story has a happy ending.
Oh. Believe it or not.
And why did it have a happy ending?
Well, the phone call failed.
Miserably.
His interest sunk like the Titanic and was like, you know what? Doesn't sound like it's going to be a good fit. And my mom, when I hung up, she's like, wow, that's rough. And I guess I was just determined, didn't believe. I was like, I need that job. He just doesn't understand my schedule. So I went home, made a calendar, and then same day walked into the building, found him, and I was like, hey, I just felt like I explained some things poorly. And he was like, my goodness, all right, come on in, let's talk about it. And I got a job from it because I yeah.
Right. Reasons. Now, and that you're using step number one as an in-person conversation versus an on-phone conversation. What Ashton did is he said, who do I need to talk to? I need to go back and talk to Mike Daniels to figure out about this job opening. Now, when you're looking at an apartment or at the doctor's or at those, do you know exactly who you're calling?
No.
Why not?
It's the definition of a cold call. You're calling up someone for something you need that you don't know.
Yeah. So sometimes you have to pick up the phone and actually sound, I'm going to say, kind of odd. It's going to feel odd. The first time you pick up to call a doctor's office, they're going to say, hi, this is Dr. Smith's office. If they don't have a prompt, if you need this, push one. If you need this, push two.
Like a robot, if they have a robot.
Yeah. And sometimes you think, okay, I've selected the right number, and they say, hi, this is Dr. Smith's office. And you're like, okay, I'm calling to make an appointment. I'm sorry, you've got the wrong extension. I need to transfer it. Yeah, right?
Yeah.
You've just spent all this time building up the courage. So for me, it's getting really clear on what do you need from that phone call. When you're calling on a lease, you might be calling the right leasing office. You might be calling somewhere else. What are some of the other times you need to make calls? What about to a mechanic? One I saw was about a mechanic, and they're saying, how do I make a call to a mechanic? Same valid conversation.
The other day, I was at school. My university professor, we have a good relationship, Mike Sammons, he was on our show a while ago, and he texted me and a couple other people in our group and was like, if any of you are close, can you come to my office? And I was close, so I walked upstairs. I was like, hey, what's up, and what can I help you with? And he goes, look, man, I really need a coffee right now, but I can't leave my office. Can you go get it for me? And I was like, for sure, but you're going to have to write it down because I have no idea what I'm doing. Like, right. I have no idea how to have that conversation. So he wrote it down on a piece of paper, and then he gave me some money. I walked across the road to wherever the coffee shop was, and I'm sure I look like a fool because everyone knows how to order their coffee. I don't drink it, so I don't know, but I, like, am holding the paper, and I was like, can I get this? And I, like, said it word for word really slowly, and the guy behind the counter was like, sure, man, whatever. Went and got it, and it worked.
Right, and he was happy. He was more than happy to help you.
Right. So even though I was uncomfortable, didn't know what I need, he was like, oh yeah, I do this all the time. I got you covered. No worries.
That example is exactly what I would suggest everybody do when they're making an appointment, when they're calling their mechanic. Write down your list of needs. Okay, here's my main question. Can I see the doctor? Does this doctor work on feet? Okay. Does this mechanic work on Volkswagen Jettas? What is your experience in Volkswagen Jettas? You know, do you have an estimated cost for an evaluation? You're writing down a list of all the questions that you're thinking of, and you're going to feel kind of stupid, potentially, because you had to stop back and make a list. But why do you think I'm suggesting this?
Because then you know what you're doing in the moment.
Right. It's a lot less scary. For one, you've kind of got a script. And how many times have you started a phone call, thought you got your answer, hung up, and then had a call back, say, oh, hey, it's Roscoe again. How you doing? I was just on the phone with you, but I have another question.
You know, I've never had to say it's Roscoe again.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, that's probably
I
good. Come to think of it.
But I think of a time I had to get my Volkswagen serviced, and I was like, I don't know how to get it serviced. And Mom suggested I call ahead. And so... But right before I called ahead, she's like, make sure you ask for pricing because if it fluctuates depending on make and model. And I was like, I didn't think of that question. Okay, yeah, cool, whatever. And I called them, and it sure enough, it did. Volkswagens were much more expensive because they were a German car.
And that's my point, right, is if you know what you need, it's a lot easier to have the conversation. But I remember the first time I was in a church assignment where I had to call people that might or might not thought the same way I did and have to pick up the phone and say, hey, this is Roscoe. We'd like to come over and visit with you about church stuff. And that was super weird for me. And so I realized I had to write myself down a little script of how I was going to approach this and say, okay, this is what I need to get from this. And that brought me up to step number two, which is what obstacles are going to stand in my way of having a successful phone call. When I say what obstacle would stand in my way, what's the first thing that comes in your mind?
If they're like, yeah, we don't do Volkswagens.
Right.
It's German.
No, that's a great point. Maybe you're not calling the right shop. I think another obstacle is just, I'm going to be nervous because I don't do this every day all the time. I'm going to say some of the wrong words. So I'm going to call that out early and say, hey, I don't know exactly how to say this, but can I describe to you what I'm trying to figure out? And most people on the other end of the phone are wanting to sell you their business, right? So they want you to come to their shop, or they're people just like you and I, and they're not mean. So if you say, hey, look, I'm not sure what I'm asking. Can you help me? I'm trying to figure out how to do this. Am I calling the right number? Are you the right person? Can you help me? It's amazing, that word. So as I'm writing down my list of what I need, I'm writing down what obstacles might I face. Now, there are going to be times that it's confrontational, where there's like, hey, there's two different points of view here, and you're trying to solve this. And that would be more of a, I'm upset because I'm calling customer service because you changed my Volkswagen oil, but since you're not, don't do German cars, you did it wrong, right? Or something's broken. And so there's going to be inherent conversation in that. And that's where you need to write down, what do you want the resolution to be?
Like what you overall want from the conversation?
Yeah.
Confrontation.
Yeah, no, conversation or confrontation, either. But I'd like the word conversation better because you're trying to keep it from being confrontational. But there's been times that I've been on a customer service phone call because I've had that opportunity where I've acted as customer support when I was doing a transportation company, some of those things. And I'd ask the customer, okay, I understand that the freight didn't get there. I understand that there's a problem. What do you want? I can't get your freight to you by Friday, but what else can I do to help you? You know how many people don't have an answer?
I would imagine a lot of them don't.
A lot more people than you would think. So I would even write the proposed solutions I have. Maybe it's a discount. Maybe it's an exchange. Maybe it's just taking it back in and getting the work done right. Right? So have a list of what do you want from this conversation. Seems like a lot of work, right? So first off, you need to know your questions. Then you want to know your outcome and what you're driving to. And what do you really want to accomplish and obtain from, right? If somebody were to pick up the phone and say, hello, how are you doing today? I need to figure out how to fix the oil change that was done on my car. This is the date I brought it in. This is the VIN number. This is what I was charged. This is the issue I'm having. What do you guys normally do in a situation like that?
Like if we were taking the phone call? Or?
No, you asking the employee that. And he might already have an answer that's better than any of your answers.
I'm thinking of an example that was really bad. I have that Ace Hardware story.
Oh, yeah.
But
they were horrible.
That was awful. It was terrible. My Volkswagen, I need a spare key. I say need because I still haven't fixed that problem. Because of...
Spoilers.
of the preceding story. But so I went to Ace Hardware. I talked with a guy. He says, oh, yeah, for sure we can get you a key, but we're going to have to special order it because on newer cars, keys have chips in them. So when you stick them in the ignition, the car won't, like, even if you had the right shape of key, it won't start unless it recognizes an electronic signal or something. And so I said, okay, great. Well, I need it, so let's do it. And then he goes, great. Well, when we get it in, we'll cut it and we'll call you. And I say, awesome. Gave him the money. He gave me a receipt, walked out. 2 weeks later, I hadn't heard anything from him. And I was like, that's a little weird. So I just called up and I said, hey, you know, I was told that in 2 weeks or less, I was going to get a call on my key. Haven't heard anything. What's the deal? You know, because I was like, I don't know what's happening. And they're like, oh, looks like it's still out on order. We don't know where it is. And I said, okay, well, do you have an estimate for me? Because I would love to know.
Which is a great follow-up question. Right, because right. Now you know what you want. You're like, hey, what's an ETA? When can I expect the time of arrival?
Right, because it was $100, and so I was like, I need that back if I'm not going to get anything for it. And so they're like, no, it's coming, it's fine, it's on its way. That process repeated like 3 times.
Right.
of me calling like, hey, where's the key? Where's the key? They're like, okay, whatever. Eventually, I get through, and they say, well, we just got the key, but we don't have the bit that is needed to cut it. I'm like, this is crazy. Okay, how long is that going to take? Like, no more than a week. I'm like, okay, can you please call me?
Right.
If something else changes, like, yep, we've made a note. No worries. And then, to make a long story short, they never got back to me. I called him and I said, look, I am tired of having to chase you down. Am I going to get a key in the next week? And a guy goes, man, I don't know, but if you want, you can come get your money back. I said, okay, that's what I'm going to have to do. And then the conversation I had in the store, turns out they were never going to be able to cut my key because they didn't have the tools for it. By corporate, they weren't approved to cut the keys for it because it was too expensive or something. So I was like, can I have my money back? And that took forever. And so it was a very confrontational conversation, and I probably could have handled myself a bit better, but it was like a lot of, hey, I need this. Can you help me figure it out? And they're like, yeah, sure. And they kind of just brush me off. Sometimes people will do that, but keeping consistent with it will eventually help you out. Like, I eventually got my money back because
right.
I was like, you're not giving me what I want. I need my money back.
Right. And you put us right into point number three, which is have the conversation. So the first thing you did is you validated you have the right person. Hi, this is Ashton calling about the key. Can I talk to that department? Right. Because there's probably 7 or 8 or 12 different people at Ace Hardware. And you had to get to the right person. You introduce yourself. This is Ashton Allen. I was making the Volkswagen key. Do you know who I am?
Hello. If you're listening to this right now, that means you're currently listening to an episode of Adulting Decrypted. And let me just say thank you. My name's Ashton, one of the hosts of Adulting Decrypted, and I wanted to steal a quick second of your time to do a shameless little plug. If you've listened to our podcast for any sort of time, you know that we talk about a bunch of different stuff all about adulting. Because our goal is to help individuals in this task we call adulting. Now, we have just revamped the way that we do this. If you go to adultingdecrypted.com, you can see all of our episodes sorted out by category. We've sorted it into financial, practical, emotional, social, and things just for fun. So, if any of those categories are of particular interest to you right now, you can go onto the website, look through there, and see all of our episodes that correlate with that specific thing. This website's completely free to use. It's just another tool for our listeners to find things that are more important to them now. So, for example, if I was looking at it, I'd scroll through and say, hey, you know what? I want to see what the Adulting Decrypted crew has talked about socially. Well, one of our first episodes, season 1, episode 3, how do I talk to people? That's where we talked about all how to talk to people. So if that's something you want right now, you can go find that right now. Also in this one, season 3, episode 15, The Power of a Humble Mediator, where we talked to one of my old bosses about his business as a mayor, also as a small theater owner. Some really cool stuff. So, if you're looking for a better way to organize through all your self-help podcasts, try adultingdecrypted.com and enjoy the rest of the episode.
Oh, yeah, this is like the first time you've called. Oh, right. Yeah, no kidding.
Right. So when you're having those conversations, the first thing is validate you have the right person, introduce yourself, ask your questions, and then listen. A lot of us have a hard time after we've written down our question and our obstacles to read our first question, cover it up, and listen to the answer for just that thing. It's funny to me how many times I'm overhearing a conversation like at a ticket counter. And they're talking to a ticket agent, and somebody will say, I need to get to Chicago. Okay, cool. There's no flights to Chicago via this method. All right. Then they'll give them 2 or 3 solutions. They're like, okay, but I need to get to Chicago. Okay, cool. I heard you. I can't do blah, blah, blah. You need to go over and talk to so-and-so. But people are so worried about their next point of contention, they're not listening. Now, here's a key. So during the interaction, just one last thing I want to point up, and this is if you're dealing with an insurance company, you're dealing with a doctor's office, you're dealing with somebody, a leasing agent, make sure that on your sheet that you took the notes or inside your phone where you took the notes, take the names of who you talked to, write down any follow-up information you're going to need to have. Your mom has saved us lots of money over the years because she'll write, okay, I talked to Susan at 9:15, not necessarily at 9 being the month, September 15th of 1997, you know, and this is what we kind of talked about. So she'll take a brief note so that if the bill isn't resolved, if the concern isn't fixed, she can go back and say, okay, I talked to Susan on this date at this time. Can you go pull up your notes? Because all these big customer service centers have
notes of conversations.
Correct.
So we should as well.
Well, we should, especially if it's going to be something that's going to take months and months and months to figure out and resolve, right? Because some of these things you know that are not going to be settled quickly. Make sure you have those. Now, would it help at Ace? Probably not, because it was a small enough operation.
Right.
You know, you're talking to Tom every time. He's like, oh, crap, it's Ashton again. I don't dare to tell him.
They probably have the caller ID on it. Yeah. They're like, oh, him again?
I don't dare to tell this kid we can't make his key. But I think that's critical, right? So have the conversation and take notes. And then the last step, and this is the step that I think it's easy to forget about, is evaluate your results.
So after you've had the conversation, you figure out what went well, what went wrong, and like act on it.
Yeah, like Ashton did on his first example, you can go and act on it, like you've done with Bike Barn, where you're like, oh, I don't think that came out. That's not what I was looking for. Let me go ask him a different question. You know, because sometimes we're not asking the right question, right? So we evaluate, how did that go? We take notes. Sometimes we're not going to call that person back, right? Because, hey, that transaction's done.
Yeah, we don't need to.
But it helps us prepare for next time. And next time that we find ourselves in that situation, we're going to know what questions. Or the person's off the phone and you're going, ah, crap, I had two more questions I just thought of. But I don't really need them answered today. I'll need to answer them when my insurance agent gets back to me with a quote. Okay, does that cover this and this? Does that insert concern here? So absolutely, reevaluate and just say, how did I do? Did I do well? Did I do poorly? What can I do better next time?
A word of caution I just thought of when doing this, though. I know a lot of times people get to what I like to call analysis paralysis.
Amen.
Where you overthink something. Like if you're talking to someone and you're worried about maybe going to a doctor's office and or you're worried about calling that doctor's office and you're like, I don't know how to talk to this person. They're going to be mad at me because I don't know what to say. That receptionist talks to people all day, every day, and I'm sure they would much prefer a confused caller over an angry caller. So if you're just confused, you're like, hey, like Dad, you said earlier, you call up and you say, hey, I'm not exactly sure what I'm supposed to say here. I just know I need to get an appointment because I'm struggling with this. They're gonna be just fine. And so I think, too, when it comes to the analysis, when you finish that conversation, I think instead of saying, did I say the right things? Did I say the wrong things right out the gate? Maybe ask yourself, go back to like the first point was, what do I need? Ask yourself, did I get out of that conversation what I needed or did I not? And then think about maybe why or why not that happened. And don't dive too deep into how could I have said that better if you know that you tend to get a little bit self-critical.
I love that, Ashton. I really appreciate that point because that's the intent of that step was not to be self-critical.
Right.
It was more to say, what did I miss? Right? What gaps did I have in the conversation? What, you know, so I really appreciate that because I think the other thing we can do to ourselves is we can make ourselves so nervous that we won't make a call again, right? We'll start second guessing everything we've done versus saying, and part of that evaluation should be, I'm a rock star because I had the conversation.
Right.
Especially when it's a hard one, especially when we're nervous about it. You know, I'm a big believer in giving yourself a reward. You know, it's like I told you guys when I was first trying to lock in the habit of flossing my teeth, I'd look at myself and go, you're awesome, right? So you hang up the phone and you go, you're awesome, you know, well done.
Just do a happy dance around the kitchen.
Yeah, however it turned out, it's not relevant. The fact is you did it.
Right.
So my challenge to the listener, you guys around the table, is to look at the mirror and say, what am I putting off? What have I been putting off? What's one call that I need to make that I've been waiting on for the right time and go make the call? It might be, I need new tires for my car. I don't need them for another 8 months, but I'd like to know how much they're going to cost me. Make the call. Could be, hey, I haven't had my teeth cleaned in 6 months. My mom and dad's insurance covers it anyways. Let me make the call. Right? Try and make some of those calls while you're still living at home. Don't have your mom and dad book all your appointments. Even if you want to, have them sit on a call with you the first couple times because it is new, it is different. Find that coach, figure out how to get it done, and go be powerhouses.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Adult and Decrypted. We really enjoyed having this week's conversation, and we hope you did as well.
If you ever want to comment on a topic, you can send us a message to our website, adultingdecrypted.com, our email, adultingdecrypted@gmail.com, or through our Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn accounts at adultingdecrypted.
If you have any topics for the show that you would like us to talk about, or if you are a parent and want us to talk about something your kid should know, send us a message on any of the accounts mentioned. If you'd like to be a guest or have an idea for someone you think we should have on our show, feel free to send us an email detailing your thoughts to adultingdecrypted@gmail.com. Adulting is teamwork.
We have merch. If you want to show off your Adulting Decrypted pride, check out our website, adultingdecrypted.com, or our partner website with shop.spreadshirt.com/adulting-decrypted. Lastly, if you enjoyed the show, please consider supporting us on our Patreon at Adulting Decrypted. Along with the benefits that come with our Patreon, and trust us, there are some pretty good ones in there, you will not only be helping us continue in the effort to make great content, but you will be part of a community of individuals all trying their best to adult. We appreciate you listening, enjoying, and leaving your positive reviews. Now, the special song from Gene and Gideon. Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Adult and Decrypted. We really enjoyed having this week's conversation, and we hope you did as well.
If you ever want to comment on a topic, you can send us a message to our website, adultingdecrypted.com, our email, adultingdecrypted@gmail.com, or through our Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn accounts at adultingdecrypted.
If you have any topics for the show that you would like us to talk about, or if you are a parent and want us to talk about something your kid should know, send us a message on any of the accounts mentioned. If you'd like to be a guest or have an idea for someone you think we should have on our show, feel free to send us an email detailing your thoughts to adultingdecrypted@gmail.com. Adulting is teamwork.
We have merch. If you want to show off your Adulting Decrypted pride, check out our website, adultingdecrypted.com, or our partner website with shop.spreadshirt.com/adulting-decrypted. Lastly, if you enjoyed the show, please consider supporting us on our Patreon at Adulting Decrypted. Along with the benefits that come with our Patreon, and trust us, there are some pretty good ones in there, you will not only be helping us continue in the effort to make great content, but you will be part of a community of individuals all trying their best to adult. We appreciate you listening, enjoying, and leaving your positive reviews. Now, the special song from Gene and Gideon.